Lines in open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Rebel Wireless and Quaker Steak and Lube, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
Well, it's a newsy Football Tuesday for you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The Browns signing 18 undrafted free agents. Not going to list them all for you here, but I'll just give you some highlights position-wise. Five of these guys are wide receivers. Four are listed as offensive tackles. Of course, you could probably see maybe some of those guys get some shots inside, some reps inside. Two are defensive ends, although in the Browns configuration and looking at the heights, weights of a couple of these guys, 6'3", 240. The other guy was 6'4", 245. Well, maybe he's more of that type of end-end, but probably outside linebacker projection in the 3-4 defense. A couple are tight ends, two tight ends. You know, we talked about this being a big need in the draft, and the Browns did not address the tight end position in the draft, but they have signed two undrafted tight ends, Garrett Hoskins being one of them from Eastern Michigan and Travis Tannehill being the other from Kansas State. Other highlights, got a guy from Middleburg Heights, the Youngstown State, Jermaine Cook, the running back. So he doesn't have a long commute to training camp, that's for sure. And the brother of Paul Kruger, one of the brothers of Paul Kruger, Dave Kruger, defensive tackle from Utah, was signed, 6'5", 285. So he joins brother Paul here in Cleveland with the Browns. And I think that's about the high. Oh, another in Lakewood, Ohio. Justin Staples, Lakewood, Ohio from Illinois on this team. So a couple of and Shaker Heights. We got Perez Ashford, Shaker Heights, Ohio as well. So nice to see some local representation on this team. Ashford is one of the wide receivers. I mentioned five wideouts, Northern Illinois on that. All right, we got a really nice lineup for you tonight. Mary Kay Cabot joins us again. She's going to be a regular on this show from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, covers the Browns, has for many years, does an outstanding job. We'll get her insights and thoughts on the Browns draft and general big picture going forward. And Solomon Wilcots from NFL Network, CBS Sports, you hear him frequently on this show. He talked with us before the draft because he was embedded in Berea for NFL Network to cover it. So now we want to get his reaction to what the Browns did. And we will also take your questions and comments from our social media places, the Browns Facebook, Twitter pages. We do that every night. And it's been really overwhelming, the amount of stuff that you have supplied us in the form of questions, comments, not just to social media, and that includes the Browns Daily Twitter page, at Browns underscore daily, my own Twitter page, at VICCARUCCI, and via email, daily at clevelandbrowns.com, the other way to get a hold of us here. You can also leave a voicemail message if you want to perhaps hear your voice ask or comment, 855-363-DAILY, 855-363-2459. But let's go to email. Mike from email. He says, Vic, count me as one of the fans that agrees with what the Browns did in the draft. Take the best player available. That seems like what the Browns did when it came to trading the picks. I don't care who they traded with. If they didn't feel like anyone was worthy of that pick or it was too far of a reach, then they did the right thing. To me, Mike goes on to say, this shows that they're looking to build a solid team for years to come and not trying to be a, quote, one-year wonder. And that was a point I made. I wrote a column for ClevelandBrowns.com on this, basically saying that the building blocks, and you heard Mike Lombardi, the GM of the Browns, talk about this last night, was the thinking behind this idea of trading away those fourth and fifth round picks. And I know there was a lot of backlash, outrage, frustration, disappointment, whatever the words are. And I got that, and I understood that. You'd always rather have a name, have a face, have a position, and say, okay, let's see what this guy can do, other than just the abstract, the pick. It's abstract until it becomes something. And right now the Browns' fourth and fifth round picks of this year are unknown third and fourth rounders from in 2010. And so that leads to some natural frustration. But I buy the idea that if you did not like what was there, you do that. And if you feel that your strategy, and this is what Mike Lombardi laid out, and you've heard this from Joe Banner, going into the draft was the distinct possibility, not that they had this as a definite lockdown plan, but as the draft unfolded and those opportunities to make those deals occurred, and they didn't care that one of those deals was made with the Steelers, long as you had a willing partner, you make those moves with the idea that addressing as much as you can, as much as you feel comfortable with the ratings you have in this year's draft, combined with what you did in free agency, and then you're stockpiling to do potential deals and such maneuvering next year. And that is part of thinking big picture and thinking sustainability with your plan. That is why they did it. You still may not like that. I'm not saying accept that, buy it because I'm saying it or because I wrote about it. It's just that's what happened. That's why it happened. And I do see the logic in it, but that does not mean you have to see the logic in it, and many of you don't. So that's fine. Mike does, though, via email. And there are others. I've got lots of others here I'll share with you in the course of the show that present the opposite side of that and generally what the Browns did in the draft. So we try to give it to you from all angles. All right. In a couple of minutes, you're going to hear from someone who knows this team quite well. Mary Kay Cabot, she covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. You're listening to a Tuesday edition, a football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The best deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease the best-selling Fusion or Escape for only $189. Your choice, only $189. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma
Heights, Vermilion. Stop running around. Discount Drug Mart West Valley Plaza is now open at the corner of Marks Road and Route 303 in Brunswick Hills. That's right, Discount Drug Mart is now in your neighborhood, saving you the runaround on health and beauty, groceries, frozen foods, fresh produce, fresh meat and deli, cold beer, fine wines, greeting cards, DVD rentals, and much, much more. Plus, save on generic prescriptions starting at just $1.99. Stop in today at the new Discount Drug Mart West Valley Plaza at the corner of Marks Road and Route 303. Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
Hi, I'm Trent Richardson of the Cleveland Browns. I work hard and I make a lot of choices every day. Here's the easy one. I go to Subway restaurants where I can get a choice of better for you subs. Subway has all the options I like all in one place. And the best part, I can change it up depending on my mood. I can choose any of the 8 subs for under 6 grams of fat, like the turkey breast and ham, piled high with all the veggies I need. Or I can add double meat to my favorite, steak and cheese, to fuel up for my bone-crushing workouts. Subway, the official training restaurant of Trent Richardson and you.
Additional charge for double meat.
At Cleveland Clinic, we'll see you later, today. Access to the best care is easy with same-day appointments available at convenient locations throughout Northeast Ohio. Call today 216-444-CARE or visit clevelandclinic.org.
Trees in full bloom this spring at Rebel. Now get a free month of nationwide, no contract, unlimited everything with any smartphone activation. No compromising, just great savings. Rebel Wireless. Come save with us. Limited time offer. Requires activation on the $45 smartphone plan.
Finding time to get caught up at the office can be impossible. That's why you need GoToMyPC by Citrix. It allows you to securely access your entire office computer from any Mac, PC, tablet, or smartphone. So you can be at work from anywhere. You can use any program, edit, or send any file just as if you were sitting at your desk. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click the Try It Free button and enter promo code 45.
The Sage salute to your business. Here's to being the innovator in chief, to crazy ideas that still make dollars and cents, to mobile payments that never take the long way into your accounting system. Here's to controlling your operating costs so that you can achieve your business goals. Sage, believe in your numbers. Visit sagetoday.com. That's sagetoday.com.
Vic Rich Ritchie with you on a Football Tuesday. And Browns fans unite. Season tickets are on sale now. Be part of the tradition of Cleveland Browns football live at First Energy Stadium. Great seat locations are open in the general seating bowl and club level. For more information on new Browns season tickets, visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434. And this segment is brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube. Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and she is joining us here on the Revel Wireless Hotline. Mary Kay, first, your overall thoughts on what the Browns did during this draft.
Well, first of all, with the first-round pick, Barkevious Mingo, you know, they set out to get a pass rusher. You and I have talked about that on the show before, and they went and got their pass rusher. Now, I'm sure they also liked Deion Jordan. Maybe they even liked Ziggy Ansah. Those two guys were unavailable. They went with the next best pass rusher, and some folks even had him ranked ahead of Deion Jordan, from what I was able to tell. So, you know, I think they did the right thing. As we had talked about before, I don't think either of us really felt that the cornerback in that situation was the right pick that high. You know, you really want to affect and disrupt the quarterback. So I liked what they did there. Then they came back. Obviously, you know, you have to consider Josh Gordon to be part of this. So Josh Gordon in the second round, you know, we all know he's got a year under his belt already and should make a big step up. Third round, you know, Leon McFadden, from everything I've heard and the people that I've talked to since the draft, they expect that he should be able to come in here and challenge for a starting job. You know, he's got good ball skills. He's got great instincts. You know, he covers well. You know, so I do think that, you know, they filled a need with that pick. And then the rest of it, you know, I know some people have a problem with trading away the fourth and fifth round picks. I don't have a problem with that because I can kind of look at the big picture here and see that, you know, if they don't love the way things work out with their quarterback situation this year, they have put themselves in a position to be able to package some picks and move up if they have to take a quarterback next year.
Now, that's a great perspective because it does give you that ammunition to do different things. And I don't think you're right. I've heard the same reaction that a lot of people have had. Oh, gosh, why didn't they just pick players? This is a team that only won 5 games last year. They have to have need for players and bodies to go in there. But I think that's really taking a very short view of what the situation's all about. I think that, number one, what kind of players do you actually get in the fourth and fifth round? It doesn't mean that they're invaluable picks. They are. But I think from the standpoint of what you pointed out, to back yourself up and give yourself an opportunity to do even more in 2014, when you know as a group making the decisions here, you're going to have a 2014 draft to deal with. Had this maybe been the previous group in charge and reaching a third year or, you know, whatever it might be in your time with the team, and you're still you're still dealing with a losing record, then your philosophy is probably different. You're a little more desperate to do things. I think they can afford to be patient here.
Well, not only that, when you look to last year, and like you said, how many fourth and fifth rounders actually, not only do they sometimes not make the team, but how often do they actually become starters? When you look to last year and what Tom Hecker did, they used a fourth and fifth round pick as currency to move up to take a Trent Richardson, which, you know, nobody had a problem with that. I think people were very, very excited when they let those fourth and fifth round picks go. So it's the same kind of thing, but you don't see the results of it for a whole nother year. And not only did they use the fourth and fifth round picks as currency, they parlayed them into a third and fourth round pick. So, I mean, you really will be able to use these as, you know, great value, I think, when it comes time to take a look at these, you know, 5 or 6 really good quarterbacks that should be coming out next year.
And I think the other element that ties in with the two picks that they made, their first two picks, and how they can impact this team, I think coaching is a big part of this. I think with Barkevious Mingo, not only is it Ray Horton and his defense and what he can do to school Mingo in his own way to get him as effective as possible in this 3-4 aggressive pass rushing scheme, but it's also about having a guy like Brian Baker there who knows how to take someone with that body type, that basketball sort of frame, and maximize what he can do. At 237, he's a little bit light, I would say, but it looks like he could add more weight comfortably, more muscle, and become even more effective. But initially, Mary Kay, we're not looking to see this guy stop the run. I mean, what you want him for is to get the pressure on Joe Flacco and get the pressure on Ben Roethlisberger and force mistakes or turnovers or sacks.
Absolutely. And, you know, so you don't want to minimize that effectiveness by asking him to put on a bunch of weight and do what he, you know, doesn't do extremely well. I mean, I think when you factor in that you've also got, you know, Jabal Sheard to work with, you've got Barkevious Mingo, you've got Paul Kruger, you have people, not just them, but a lot of guys now that can get to the passer. So he doesn't necessarily have to fulfill every role that you want him to. You know, who knows if he'll be an every down linebacker right away. You would hope that he would become that. But when you do look at his frame, I think you can see that he does look like he has the capability to bulk up a little bit in the event they need him to or when they need him to. And not just Brian Baker, but, you know, Joe Cullen is excellent at working with young pass rushers. He has a tremendous history and knack for doing that. So, like you said, I think they really will coach him up. And then you look at, you know, some other guys that have come out without a huge amount of production in their final year in college, the Alden Smiths and the Clay Matthews of the world, and they come in and it's lights out.
Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She's joining us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Mary Kay, to talk about Leon McFadden, a lot of the conversation goes to, first, the lack of height. Ideally, you'd want somebody taller than 5'9 and change, and that's the first knock I think that people see. Again, likely the reason why he's available to the Browns or any team in the third round. But the more research I've done on him, the more I'm liking what I'm hearing. And one of the things I heard, Gil Brandt, the highly respected former NFL personnel man for the Cowboys, of course, he's with NFL.com and SiriusXM NFL Radio and just all things NFL, told me that in his pre-draft rating, he had a second-round grade on McFadden. So I think it's encouraging to hear that. And the other thing, I heard this from another source in the league who told me that McFadden, I don't have the exact number, but McFadden had an outstanding Wunderlich grade. So intelligence would be an important part probably of this conversation when you think about the complexity of Ray Horton's defense. You want the guy who is smart enough and quick enough to understand, I mean, mentally quick to grasp and comprehend, because you're going to ask a corner to do a lot of things in this defense, most of which are not favorable to the cornerback position with all the blitzing and attacking of the quarterback.
Well, that is true. And the other thing that you have to like about Leon McFadden is the fact that he has played a lot of football. You know, you want somebody that has a lot of production under his belt and behind him, and he has that, and it's been good production. He can tackle, he can cover, he can do all of those kinds of things. He's got good ball skills, and I think the opportunity will be there for him to get his hands on some footballs because, I mean, you know, with Joe Hayden on the other side, they're going to have to throw the ball, you know, somewhere. And, you know, so I think this gives them, you know, two good potential shutdown corners. And the other good news, of course, for Joe and Leon is when you are rushing the passer, the way this team is going to rush the passer, make no mistake, they will do it. It's going to completely help them on the back end. So, you know, he's going to have an opportunity to, you know, to come into a team that has that, and cornerbacks absolutely, of course, love that.
An interesting pick would be the sixth rounder. And again, when you get to rounds in six and seven, you're sort of seeing what might stick generally. That's the rule of thumb. And I don't think that the Browns were just trying to do this as a throwaway. But Jamoris Slaughter from Notre Dame, interesting because he's coming off an injured Achilles tendon, and it's the kind of serious injury for athletes, for anybody. It takes such a long recovery, and then what do you have when you come back from it? Now, he has sounded encouraged about being ready to play and participate, I should say, by the start of training camp late July, which would be a nice timetable. And I know the Browns trusted, talking with Mike Lombardi yesterday on the show, trust Joe Sheehan and the medical staff, what they said about this guy, that he could recover well from this. If that's the case, you know the need of safety is there. It'd be interesting to think that the Browns could find significant help at that position if that's what Slaughter is in the sixth round.
Well, like you said, it's a roll of the dice. Once you get to the sixth and seventh round, you can take some chances on guys like this. And this is one of those situations where if it pays off and he can get healthy, from people that I've talked to, a lot of people had a third-round grade on him. I had people that had a fourth-round grade on him. So this is what they were thinking if he had not ruptured the Achilles. So he's got a lot of potential. You know, he's got good speed. He's also another one that was very productive, you know, before this. And, you know, again, you never know. I mean, we've seen guys come through here and not be, you know, 100%. But I think one of the good things is that he did it so early in the year last year. I mean, it's not like, I mean, there's guys that were drafted that were tearing their Achilles in, like, the last game of the season or the second last game of the season. This happened early enough on in the season that he should have a chance to be ready to go by the time the season starts. And, again, when you're talking about a sixth-round pick, if they have to kind of redshirt him a little bit this year and give him one more year, then it wouldn't be the end of the world.
And when you talk about this draft, too, you have to talk about two receivers. One, of course, being Josh Gordon, the second rounder effectively in this year's draft that was drafted in last year's supplemental draft. And the other one is Devon Bess, who comes via the trade that the Browns made with the Dolphins during this draft. So I look at both of those guys. We know what Gordon is or where he is as a Brown coming into year two, and the likelihood that he's made some, will make some real progress because he has an off season to work with, and we know what kind of athletic potential he has. Bess comes in as, looks like, filling the slot hole that this team genuinely had and didn't know what it would do with, but now it has the player with some experience. And there's the other thing. He's that veteran guy that there's been this clamor for. They've got to get a veteran guy to be part of this receiving group. Devon Bess looks like he's prepared to handle whatever leadership role comes with that.
Yeah, you know, we got an opportunity to talk to Devon Bess on a conference call yesterday. I was very, very impressed with everything that I heard. Then I went back and did a little bit more research on his background and delved into the story a little bit about what happened to him when he was 17 years old out in Oakland, California. Got himself into a little bit of trouble with letting some guys hop into his car that had some stolen goods. He spent 15 months in a rehabilitation center, and that completely changed his life, made him hungry, made him turn things around, made him even want to stay out of trouble way more than ever before, even though he really wasn't a troublesome youngster. But, you know, I was very, very impressed with it, and it was just a neat story how he played football while he was in this facility, and someone filmed him, sent the film out to June Jones in Hawaii. They took a chance on him. He was incredibly productive out there. Then gets that chance with Miami. But throughout that, he decided to establish the Best Route Foundation, and he now is great at just helping underprivileged kids stay out of trouble. I think he's a perfect, perfect mentor for guys like Josh Gordon and Greg Little. They came in here with, you know, with a little bit of baggage and maybe not knowing exactly what it takes to reach a championship level. You've got Travis Benjamin. I think he can use some guidance. So I think he'll be a tremendous mentor for these guys. He's been in the league for 5 years. You know, he's had tremendous production. I mean, the fewest catches that he's had ever in a season were, you know, he's never had fewer than 50 in a season or fewer than, like, 537 yards. So he knows what it takes, and I think that's a great pickup for the Browns.
Mary Kay, you touched on this earlier, the draft capital that the Browns have accumulated with the trades they made with the fourth and fifth rounders to Pittsburgh and Indy to get those upgraded picks in 2014 for the potential of packaging something if indeed they want to pursue a quarterback then. They didn't pursue a quarterback in this draft. There was a lot of speculation that might happen somewhere along the line. Do you think the fact that they didn't kind of puts to rest the notion that Brandon Whedon is really going to have any major challenge? I mean, Jason Campbell effectively is here to provide competition, but we saw Brandon had the first team reps through the offseason. He's number one in the depth chart in the offseason. Are we at a place where this is basically now going to be his job to lose?
You know what, that's what it seems like to me at this point. But I think the Browns have been very careful to leave the door open that if some, you know, that if something else came along, if another opportunity arose, that they're open to anything. But right now, for all intents and purposes, I think they're trying to say, Brandon's the guy. We're moving forward with him. We're going to see how this goes. You know, he needs to step it up. One thing that I've found throughout this whole entire offseason, no matter where I've gone, whether it's been to the NFL Combine, whether it's been to the NFL owners meetings, or anywhere else this offseason, everyone that I've talked to that knows North Turner has said the same thing to me. They have said he really likes Brandon Weeden. He genuinely likes him, is excited about him, and can't wait to get to work with him and see what he can do with that big arm. We saw what Rob Chudzinski was able to do in this similar type of offense with a Derek Anderson. And I just think that North likes Brandon, and that's going to help him.
Okay, great stuff as always, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Vic.
All right. She is Mary Kay Cabot covering the Browns for the Cleveland Plain Dealer with us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline. More is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease America's best-selling truck, the F-150, for only $229. That's right, only $229 a month. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
It just got hotter in Medina. At Quaker Steak and Lube, we're famous for over 20 flavors of award-winning sauces, voted Best Wings USA. But there's so much more. Ribs, steaks, burgers, sandwiches, salads, signature drinks, and drafts, all served up on a platter full of fun. Every night is hot at the Lube, including all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday and 60-cent bread and boneless wings on Wednesday. Great time, great food. Get to Quaker Steak and Lube, now open at 4094 Pearl Road in Medina.
Are you ready to make some big plays this season? Like growing your savings, buying a home, or even building a business? At First Merit Bank, we'd like to assist you with your goals, whatever they may be. So no matter what your next play is, we're ready to help you make it happen. It's your game plan. How can we help? First Merit Bank. You first. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
It's MTB's $24.99 Ready to Roll Oil Change. That means all the extras at no extra charge. Listen to what you get for just $24.99. Up to 6 quarts of Valvoline oil, a brand new filter, and free disposal of your old oil. Plus, we'll rotate your tires and reset your air pressure sensors. Then we'll check your battery, brakes, belts, and hoses, and top off your fluid. The savings are incredible. For just $24.99, you get it all. Valvoline oil, a brand new filter, and free disposal of your old oil. Plus, we'll rotate your tires and reset your sensors. Then we'll check your battery, brakes, belts, and hoses, and top off your fluid. Why would you change your oil anywhere else? At MTB, you're ready to roll. Drive in or schedule service at MTB.com. Local and state mandated tax and disposal fees extra. See store for details.
Mother's Day is next week, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5353. But hurry, this incredible deal expires this Friday. Flower prices will skyrocket next week. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. You picked a delivery date, and it's guaranteed. 100 colorful blooms for mom sent fresh from the fields and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 full days for only $19.99, and will include a free glass vase with every order. Remember, flower prices can double, even triple next week. And this incredible special expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com, click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 5353.
This is the sound of a popular American motorcycle. It's the sound of freedom, the open road, really good times. And this is what it sounds like with a drunk guy in it. How do you like the sound of that? Cops are cracking down on drunk motorcycle riders. If you ride drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested.
Drunk riding. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
It's now your chance to Ask Vic on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
And we love it when you do ask me, when you comment and send questions into our Browns social media pages, our email address here at Cleveland Browns Daily, daily@clevelandbrowns.com. So earlier in the show, I addressed a supportive email from Mike regarding what the Browns did with their draft trades of those fourth and fifth round picks they were talking about. Omar from email, he didn't agree with that. He says, what the heck? I don't understand it. Trading with rivals was a mistake big time. He says, we are trying to win games here. Yes, they are. Especially in the division. He says, I mean, I don't know if that pick, meaning the one the Steelers made for the safety, is a boom or bust, but let's hope it's a bust. But what if that pick happened to be an excellent safety? What if that's the team, the Steelers, parenthetically, he references, we face to advance in the playoffs? Why did we trade with our division rivals? So Omar was one of the ones I was talking about who were just flat-out outraged about the this decision to trade in the division, to trade the fourth-round pick for a third-round pick in 2014. Well, here's step one of that answer. And you heard Joe Banner talk about this. He said not only is he not afraid of trading within the division, but as a rule of thumb, it's 19 years of front office experience with the Eagles talking, by the way, so going on 20 here now with the Browns, that he favors that idea. Because if you win that trade, if you get the edge in such a trade, then you are getting the additional benefit of getting one on your divisional rival, so to speak, a one-up, versus a non-divisional team. Now, the point you made about the pick, Omar, in your letter, in your email, Shamarco Thomas is the guy, of course, the Steelers took, the safety, at that spot. Hard-hitting guy, gets a lot of good reviews from analysts. Heard a comparison with Bob Sanders and him. Bob Sanders being a safety, of course, that had been selected by the Colts, and Bill Polian, who was their GM at the time, described him to me as the Peyton Manning of our defense when they were pursuing him. He had a foot issue, by the way, too, just a little aside on that, that the Colts doctor said would be okay. And history proved it was a great move for the Colts to do what they did. Now, I don't know if Shamarco Thomas is that. That's the opinion of some. And if he's great, if he's helped, if that pick does help the Steelers, that's a problem. That's going to come back to haunt the Browns. There's no doubt about it. There's no denying that. But if, and this is the part of the Banner explanation that I buy, if you, and I heard Mike Lombardi say this, on you, if you listened to the show last night, he said it on the show, you can't start cutting down. If you start to cut down your field of potential trade partners, you're kind of painting yourself into a corner. If your ultimate goal, again, is to accumulate picks, is to enhance your chances of sustainable growth with future selection, trade capital for 2014 or whatever the next year is in the process, whenever you're doing it. And I get that. I don't think you can be fearful of that. And I think you can make trades in the division. And I remember when I was working for NFL.com, all the outrage about in New England about trading a guy named Drew Bledsoe to the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. And, oh, yeah, they had that guy named Tom Brady as their quarterback, but they thought that might come back and haunt him. For about half a season, Bledsoe played really well for Buffalo, for about half a season, and the rest was just a bust. So Billy from Facebook, he says, we're changing to a 3-4 defense this year, so that means you need a burner to come off the edge, talking about Barkevius Mingo, and we got the best one in the draft. Said the top three offensive linemen were gone, so it's a pretty decent pick. And he said to those who had not heard of Mingo before the pick, there were some who expressed, you know, who is this guy, saying that you don't pay attention to football and have no idea what's going on. Well, it's a little harsh, Billy, but I think it's fair to say that, yeah, if you were following this draft, you knew there was a distinct possibility in the cluster of players that the Browns would look at that outside linebacker spot. His name was consistently mentioned there. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, in a couple of minutes, we will get a national perspective on what took place with this Browns draft. A guy who was covering the draft for NFL Network, assigned to Berea last week and spent the week and into the weekend here. Solomon Wilcots, our buddy. He'll join us next in a couple of minutes on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The best deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease the best-selling Fusion or Escape for only $189. Your choice, only $189. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
It just got hotter in Medina. At Quaker Steak and Lube, we're famous for over 20 flavors of award-winning sauces, voted Best Wings USA. But there's so much more. Ribs, steaks, burgers, sandwiches, salads, signature drinks, and drafts, all served up on a platter full of fun. Every night is hot at the Lube, including all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday and 60-cent breaded boneless wings on Wednesday. Great time, great food. Get to Quaker Steak and Lube, now open at 4094 Pearl Road in Medina.
100 years of U.S. soccer. 100 years of moments like these.
Howard, gratefully claims it. Distribution, brilliant. Can they do it here?
For our next magical moment. Celebrate our centennial when the USA takes on Belgium May 29th at First Energy Stadium. For tickets, use your Visa at Ticketmaster or visit ussoccer.com.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
All right, girls, Mother's Day is next week. What should we get Mommy?
Daddy, how about we get her a kitten?
Well, that's a sweet idea, Emma. Let's think of some more.
Daddy, how about we get her a ballerina?
Very good, Chloe. Let's keep thinking.
I know, Daddy. Let's get Mommy her own spaceship.
Good one, Molly. Good one. Oh, boy.
Mother's Day is next week. Are you looking for the perfect gift for your wife or any important mom in your life? Right now, Sherry's Berries has an amazing last-minute deal. You can get our giant gourmet hand-dipped strawberries for just $19.99. These mouth-watering berries are covered in premium gourmet toppings like chocolate chips and nuts for only $19.99. You pick the delivery date and your berries are guaranteed to arrive beautiful and delicious. But hurry, because Mother's Day is next week and this incredible deal ends Friday. The only way to get this incredible deal is to visit berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 7070. That's berries.com, secret code 7070.
Hey, Vic Carucci telling you that I appreciate the fact that you're hanging out with us on this Football Tuesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and see Clint Dempsey, Michael Bradley, and the U.S. soccer team take on Belgium May 29th at First Energy Stadium. That'll be here before you know it. For tickets and info, visit ussoccer.com. And on with us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline is Solomon Wilcots from NFL Network. The network assigned him to cover the Browns through the draft. So, Solomon, you were in Berea for that and took it all in, and I want your big picture thoughts on what the Browns did.
Well, it was very difficult to try to get a fix on what they might do, trying to get an understanding philosophically with the new regime, this new organization, what direction they want to head in and how they plan on getting there. I think their draft reflects more than anything, Vic, is the belief in some of the players that they inherited from the previous regime. Remember, last year the Browns were the youngest team in the National Football League. They had a ton of money under the salary cap, which they spent some in free agency. But you can clearly see they want to build on some of the players that previously existed, whether it's Brandon Whedon, whether it's Trent Richardson, whether it's Phil Taylor and Jabril Sheard, who I talked to Ray Horton, said they believe in him as an outside linebacker. So I don't think they felt like they had to really make drastic moves and put their stamp on their first draft in 2013, that they're going to allow this team of these young group of players they inherited to sort of play themselves out and see exactly what they can do over the next few years.
It's interesting that you brought up Jabril Sheard, because talking with Mike Lombardi yesterday, the Browns general manager on this show, he brought up Sheard's name as someone that is in the mix with this whole pass rush thing. When I talked about how they enhance it with the addition of Barkevious Mingo as a first-rounder to go along with Paul Kruger, he promptly went to Jabril Sheard. So there is a confidence that Sheard can successfully make this transition from defensive end to outside linebacker.
There is no doubt about it. I talked to defensive coordinator Ray Horton. He said he likes Jabril Sheard. He likes the fact that the guy lost weight. He believes that he can make the transition to that outside linebacker position. He said that when they had Lamar Whitley, when he came out of Michigan, that the coaches at Michigan told the Pittsburgh Steelers, he won't be able to do it. You guys, if you draft him, he won't be able to stand up and drop and play pass coverage. And Ray Horton was clear. He says, Jabril Sheard is a better athlete than Lamar Woodley was when he came out of college. He said, so if Woodley can make the transition, then they have every confidence that Jabril Sheard will be able to do it. I thought it was a ringing endorsement from his defensive coordinator, who looks at him as a guy who's going to be a player in their system.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And the pursuit of needs in this draft continued after Mingo in the first round with the third round selection of Leon McFadden, the cornerback from San Diego State. Some wonder why they didn't go for someone like D. Milner earlier, and why perhaps that without a second-round pick, or at least acquiring a second-round pick to try to pursue someone that might have been given a higher grade than Leon McFadden had. But it looks like Leon McFadden is the right fit, even though he's just barely, I think he's under 5'10", 5'9", and change, solid 193 pounds. And I think, too, the other key, the big key, is the intelligence factor, the savvy, the instincts that he brings to it, because this is such a complicated defense, right, Solomon? And a corner, whether he's a Joe Hayden entering year four or a guy like Leon McFadden as a rookie, it's a challenge to be out there in this defense when you got so much zone blitzing and such going on.
Oh, yeah. I came in as a rookie in 87 playing for Dick LeBeau, and the guy who kind of was assigned to sort of shepherd me and help me to even learn the defense and understand it was none other than Ray Horton, the defensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. He's a very smart, sharp guy. And Ray played every position in that defense, in that secondary scheme. And when I talked to him about what kind of corners you're looking for, he said, in this defense, Solomon, we're not necessarily looking for the best man-to-man cover guy. This is a zone blitz. What we're looking for is someone who's versatile in talent, who can play some zone, can play some man, who understands how to pattern read when wide receivers are coming down the field and you're on the 2x2 side. You need to be able to read both receivers, because what one does is going to tell you what the other guy is going to do, because the pattern combinations have to sync up. And that's what they're looking for. And he said the number one skill we're looking for is someone with superior ball skills. And when I went back and looked at it, this guy, Leon McFadden, fits all of those areas in terms of the criteria of what they're looking for. I know this, that when I talked to Ray Horton and I came away with the criteria of what he was looking for at the corner, I left that room saying, they're not taking D. Milliner. They're going to wait till later in the draft to get someone who's better suited for them. Maybe not best for a number team, but for the Cleveland Browns and what they want to do. So I wasn't shocked when they took McFadden. I just didn't know who they were going to take. But as I did more study on McFadden, he seems to be a guy that has all of those skills that Ray Horton is looking for.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He definitely seems to fill that, and he has the father who was a former Major League Baseball player, so there's some of that sense of what it means to be a professional athlete, and I'm sure that that matters, too, in picking a player to play in the National Football League. Solomon Wilcots joins us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline from NFL Network. He also works for CBS Sports, assigned to a lot of Browns games as an analyst. Well, you said you weren't shocked when they didn't take Milner, but then the shock for this draft for Browns fans came after this McFadden pick, rounds 4 and 5, trading the 4th-round pick to Pittsburgh for next year's 3rd-rounder, and then trading the 5th-rounder to the Colts for next year's 4th-rounder. What'd you think of that, Sally?
Well, I think that speaks to the fact that, hey, we already have enough young players on this team. And as I had already stated, last year they were the youngest team in the National Football League, and now they're going to look to add another crop of rookies. Now, I think it says two things, that their young players, they are still doing talent and player evaluation on these guys. They know they have room to grow, that let's live with the young guys we got, and instead of us inheriting a huge crop of rookie class of 2013, let's move some of those picks to the next year. In so much that this isn't the strongest draft is what people talked about, even though it had great depth. It just wasn't really strong at the top. So why not move some of those picks into the next year if we can do that and live with the young guys that we already have? And to keep from getting younger, let's limit the number of players we're going to take in this year's rookie class. I think a lot of those things came into play. There was probably no one there who was overwhelming in terms of a value when they were in the 4th and then in the 5th round. So I think some of those things came into play as well. This is one of those deals where you just kind of have to write it down, take a note, and then we'll come back and look and see what do those picks that they gave up on in 2013, what does it translate into in 2014? We can't do a knee-jerk reaction. We do have to take a wait-and-see approach.
Yeah, and Mike Lombardi used this term, building blocks, saying that those assets, those trade acquisition picks for next year are assets along with the players that were drafted, and that you've got to take a longer view of what this team is trying to do and what this administration is trying to do. Joe Banner, Mike Lombardi, that you're not solving every issue in one off season.
No, you can't. And guess what? They inherited the team. Remember we talked about the young players? When new coaches and new CEO, new general manager come in the door, they would love to be able to tell you, yeah, we know this team very well. No, they don't. They're going to watch as much tape as they can to ascertain what do we have here in Phil Taylor. You know, Phil's only played 2 seasons, so they got, 32 games or less than that because he was hurt half last year. I do know that they've seen enough from him to say, wow, we got ourselves the next Casey Hampton in a 3-4 scheme. He has really stood out to them. But some of these other players are so young that they don't know everything about them. They don't know fully what they got. And that's why they have the mini camps. That's why they're going to have training camp. They're going to get a better feel for what they can do. And as this season goes on, they're going to learn more about them to really understand what they're going to have to go out and get in the subsequent drafts to come. So it's still a learning experience of talent evaluation for everyone in the organization there with Cleveland.
You know, and the other interesting thing you brought up, what do you get in the latter part of a draft, especially in a year like this when it was widely thought to be a pretty down year for drafting, for sake of a better term, and who knows if that's right. But in terms of the types of players that you ended up with, let's just look at the Browns from their final 3 picks in round 6, and the 2 they had in round 7, Jamoris Slaughter, Notre Dame safety, coming back from an Achilles injury. Armani Bryant, the defensive lineman that they got from East Central Oklahoma with off-field issues. A risky player, but a lot of talent, but a risk. And then Garrett Gickley, the guy they got right at the end, the offensive tackle from Chadron State, Nebraska, Don Beebe. I remember that name, the wide receiver for Buffalo. Last time I remember Chadron being part of a draft. But so yeah, I think those are the thoughts too. Like you have that, you start seeing the players. They're going to have a lot of flaws and flies on them in the latter part of the draft. So the question becomes, does it really matter to not use two more of those picks in the second half and save those for next year? And I think the bottom line is maybe when you see what you ended up with in your final three picks, it probably underscores that point.
And they're going to have enough work molding the talent that they inherited into what they want, developing those group of players without inheriting even more developmental projects. And that's what you get in the later rounds. They have a need at safety. So the kids from Notre Dame, will he fit? Maybe they got a great value on him with the fact that he had an Achilles tendon injury and would have gone higher had he been healthy. And they see him as a great fit for what they need at the safety position. You know, I think one of the things that goes under that's not noticed, they didn't go for multiple corners in this draft. The reason why, because yeah, everybody knows about Joe Hayden. But what about Buster Skrine, who they believe will be an excellent nickel corner, and that's one of the most important positions in this new 3-4 zone blitz scheme, the ability to rush the quarterback. You have to play the run. You have to cover the smaller receivers like now Kayvon Austin or Wes Welker or Percy Harvin in the slot. You may have to cover tight ends. So that's a heavy responsibility at that position, and they believe Buster Skrine, now that he's moved inside, not playing out on the island, is going to be a real benefit to the defense, and maybe that's something people on the outside don't see as well as people on the inside.
Solomon, I want to get your big picture thoughts on the drafts of the rest of the AFC North. Let's start with Baltimore.
Wow, that's all you can say is Ozzie does it again. Everybody looks at the fact that all the talent that walked out the door, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, they lose a Paul Kruger, but then they go into the draft and they get off the Brown. This inside linebacker is an incredible player. A lot of people like him. But obviously, Elam, the safety from Florida, seems to be a great fit in this secondary, a phenomenal fit. They seem to be collecting the kind of players who have the versatility, who have who played a lot of football in college, and seemingly will be able to step right in and play for this football team. So they've got a lot of talent. Now it's going to be interesting to see how it emerges in terms of replacing the leadership that has left that locker room. But very deep draft. I think, what do they use, maybe 10 picks in the draft? So they brought in a lot of young guys. It was just said that the Cleveland Browns was the youngest team in the NFL 1 year ago. It was the Baltimore Ravens who had the oldest active day roster at the beginning of the 2013 season. We saw the injuries accumulate with that team. So now they're skewing young. They're one of those teams that when you're old, you want a huge draft class so you can skew younger and go the opposite direction that you saw Cleveland go in this year's draft.
Bengals, what'd you think?
I love the Bengals draft because when you look at their quarterback, he's Andy Dalton's really good, but he's not as effective and not as consistent on the deep ball. I think they know that. And everyone had them, oh, they need a wide receiver to go opposite of A.J. Green. And I think it's clear they need more weapons to pull double coverage away from A.J. But they thought outside the box. They understand that with a quarterback who's more of a dink-and-dunk guy and he'll take some shots down the field, but he's not as consistent with that, let's get him some easy completions. Let's get him some players that'll help him do that. So they go with Tyler Eifert. Now he'll join up with Jermaine Gresham, create a double tight end type situation. They go with the best receiving back coming out of the draft in Giovanni Bernard. So now this offense, not that it's going to be like the Patriots, they understand that creating easy completions for quarterbacks starts with tight ends, third down back, slot receiver, closer to the quarterback, easier completions for Andy Dalton. I thought in a way you could tell they're going to morph their offense into something a little bit different than what it's been in the past.
And finally, the Steelers.
You know, I'm a big Jarvis Jones fan. I remember when the Browns took Barkevious Mingo. I said they're going to take one or three guys left, and obviously Mingo was there because Ziggy Ansah and obviously Deion Jordan were guys that went quick, and so we kind of thought it would be Mingo. But then, you know, I kind of held out hope for Jarvis Jones, who I think is the most polished of the outside linebackers in this year's draft class. He certainly is the most football-ready. He's thick, he's strong, but there are other areas of issue where the red flags of concern were there. That's why he went late. And I remember turning to someone in the Cleveland Browns organization, I said, well, Jarvis Jones, you know what that means. He won't get past Pittsburgh, and then there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. He's perfect for there. He's a guy to replace Harrison, if not right away, in the near future. And then I think as you go through their draft, you'll see they've got Steeler-type players at the safety positions and everywhere, running back as well. Because Le'Veon Bell, I think, is just going to be phenomenal for this football team. They're going to play that physical style that we've seen them play in the past. I think for Pittsburgh Steelers, everyone expecting early demise, that might be greatly exaggerated there, Vic.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. But appreciate the breakdown and the knowledge, Solomon, and we will talk to you with you again soon, my friend.
The AFC North is stronger than ever. I think it's a four-team race.
Well, I hope you're right about that, with one of the four being the Browns. He is Solomon Wilcots from NFL Network. He's joining us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline, and we have got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop Liberty for the best selection of pre-owned vehicles in Ohio. Save with hundreds of vehicles priced under 10 grand. 0% APR for 60 months on certified pre-owned Fords. Special internet pricing and more. Make it easy and shop all five of our locations' inventory in one place. LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Spokane, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion, home.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Nothing stays cold longer than a Polar Pop fountain drink from Circle K. The Polar Pop cups are made of polar foam. It keeps your fountain drink cold longer than any other cup on the planet. Best of all, you can get any size cup for the same low price, just 69 cents. So pour yourself a Polar Pop. Any size cup, just 69 cents every day.
Pour yourself a Polar Pop.
Only at Circle K.
Hi, gang. Riz here. Baseball is back. The Tribe is hot, and so is Window Nation. 35% off windows, doors, and siding. No down payment, no interest, and no payments for 6 months. Quality windows that are going to save you money from a great company made right here in Northeast Ohio. Get with Window Nation. Tis the season for baseball and new windows. Call 216-464-4141 or go to windownation.com/Rizzo. windownation.com/Rizzo. Go Tribe.
Take me out to the ball game.
Take me out to the crowd.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
I don't care if I ever get back for
a treat. We root for the Indians.
If they don't win, it's the same.
Boys, one,
two,
three, steps, you're out at the old ball game.
It's Sugardale Dollar Dog Night on Friday, May 3rd, when the Indians face the Minnesota Twins. Buy early and save at Indians.com.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. Whether you live in a condo, a one-story or a two-story house, what's inside is important and needs to be protected. With Alarm Force, you get no charge, live two-way voice, installation, activation, and warranty, and only $25 a month for monitoring. And you can get an alarm system even if you don't have a home phone line.
Call 1-800-267-2. 2001, Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
Are you tired of hearing the term guaranteed approval, guaranteed financing, or guaranteed credit? How about no hidden fees? Only to find out you need to win the lottery to be eligible for the so-called guarantee? Well, at Bob Gillingham Ford, the term guaranteed is what they refer to as to how you'll be treated. They guarantee you'll receive the three pillars of customer service: fair, honest, and open. That guarantee is the cornerstone that has allowed them to serve Northeast Ohio for over 56 years. Start your next car or truck buying experience at BobGillinghamFord.com. See their actual and true photographed inventory, like the stunning new 2013 Ford Fusion. From there, let them show you their guarantee of a truly great buying experience. Stop in and see them, 8383 Brook Park Road in Parma, or call 216-398-1300. That's BobGillinghamFord.com. They're looking forward to welcoming you to the home of the real deal, Bob Gillingham Ford.
Football Tuesday, Vic Carucci with you, Cleveland Browns Daily. Robert from Facebook, he says, building a strong top 10 defense is what wins in the NFL. If you stop your opponents from scoring, and with T. Rich and Flash Gordon and even Little, if he catches it, we could score points. Wanted the Browns, to, of course, to pick up a good defensive back, and I think Leon McFadden could be that guy. Like that pick. Heard some good things about him today. Talked about it on the show. Some opinion that he was really a second-round graded guy who ended up being picked in the third round by the Browns. Want to thank Mary Kay Cabot for being on the show and Solomon Wilcox. Want to thank Lauren Whitaker. Want to thank Drew Boatner. Want to thank my outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale. And to tell you to stay tuned for 3D, that's next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media.